I'm Marco Werman. It's The World. It was pretty striking, the second American infected with Ebola arriving back in the U.S. today. A high-profile medical emergency, the ambulance rolling through Atlanta, tracked by TV cameras from the air. Like the first Ebola patient being treated at Emory University Hospital, the American who arrived today is being treated with an experimental serum. Family members of both say they're improving. In West Africa, though, the battle to contain the spread of Ebola is still very much on. We've been hearing in recent days from people in Liberia and Sierra Leone about some of the steep challenges they face in combating the disease. Today, we hear from a nurse who works with Doctors Without Borders in Guinea. That's where the current outbreak began. Monia Saya is in New York right now. She's just returned from Guinea, where she said she could see the fear in the eyes of local residents.
One man I remember, a very strong, tall man, I went to ask him a few questions to see if I was going to recommend him to come and get tested. I mean, just the fact that I was there, his hands were shaking. Such a strong family man was just so afraid. I mean, his hands just couldn't stop shaking.
Were you wearing protective gear when you were talking to him, or you were just person to person?
No, it was person to person. I mean, the Ebola virus is a violent, scary virus, obviously, but it's not transmitted like the flu. So as long as I kept a 2-meter distance with the person I'm speaking with or with their family members, because you never know who's sick and who's not. People can hide their symptoms very well when they want to, especially when fear takes over. But as long as you take a 2-meter distance, you're fine. Then I would need to take a temperature. I would get close and wear gloves and disinfect my hands with chlorine. And we have a particular procedure to approaching patient in the community, or taking a temperature and walking behind the patient in case they cough, and so that they don't cough in a provider's face.
Now, I know a lot of healthcare workers have been going into these places in West Africa with really intense gear like gowns, gloves, rubber boots, hazmat suits. When that happens, I gather you use a buddy system. How does that actually work?
Exactly. When you're diving, if you dive, you know, you go into the water two people.
Right. So you're kind of using a scuba diving metaphor, but you're actually going into not the ocean, but into these zones of possible infection.
Yeah. Yes. We do that to make sure the other is not going to make a mistake. Also to make sure that the other is not about to faint or do something that is not something that you're supposed to do. We try not to sit inside. We don't sit on patients' beds. We go out at the same time. We never leave somebody behind alone.
Have you ever, you or one of your workers, had to catch each other because you see a mistake possibly happening?
Sure. I mean, a few times, you know, a colleague has said, your goggles are moving. I think your skin will be exposed. And I said, okay, then let's go out.
And I gather all of your gear except boots are burned after you leave the ward?
Correct, except the goggles. We disinfect them in chlorine.
Ebola is mostly a lethal disease, and yet apparently some people have survived it. Why can they?
It's a virus that we don't know much about. The reason for this is because the outbreaks seldom happen. So there's much to be learned about this virus and how what it does. It attacks the immune system. And why a person will be surviving and the other not, we're not so sure. Children, young children, their prognosis are not great. Very rare for a pregnant woman to survive. And if she does, she will lose the baby. That's for sure. Also, a big difference is if a patient comes to a facility and starts getting treatment early on, that makes a big difference.
Did you meet any survivors while you were in Guinea?
Yes, yes. Lots of survivors, yes.
Tell me one of their stories and why you think that might be kind of indicative of the chances for survival.
Maybe this gentleman, Sasobas, who will not mind that I say his name. Before the outbreak was official, he cared for a person that was sick with Ebola. And the sick person said that he didn't want any members of his family to care for him. But Sasobas, a friend of his, said that I will stay with you and I will care for you. So he did stay with this man, knowing that he was taking huge amounts of risk. The gentleman died and Sasobas became sick. And he actually walked with another colleague of his to the treatment facility that we had set up and was just lying on a bench outside. And somebody called me and said, you know, you really need to bring him in. And I said, well, I need to speak with him first. And then they told me the story quickly. And I said, okay, let's get dressed and we'll bring you in. I remember taking his blood, and I also remember that same day going in and telling him that it was positive and that he needed to go into the confirmed area. And Sasobas was very, very sick. For a few days, I was quite concern. We thought that we were going to lose him. He refused to talk, to eat. He was just very withdrawn. And suddenly he got better. And he told us that during those 2 days, he was giving up. But he said that because we were on him all the time and saying that, you know, you really need to eat and we'll give you an intravenous fluid if you don't, you know, and he felt that he was well taken care of and he survived. Sasobas lost 20 pounds in 10 days.
Have you spoken with him since?
Oh, yes. After that, he came to visit us every day, and he was actually hired by the Guinean Red Cross to be a spokesperson and to really to sensitize the population and explain to them this is what's going on in the facility. And often the communities distrust what people tell them, and he could say to them, you cannot tell me that it's not true because I was there. I almost died and I survived. So a wonderful, very strong person.
You've done two stints already in Guinea. I gather you're thinking about going back?
Yes. It's not finished. I must go back. This is where I need to be.
Monya Saya is a nurse with Doctors Without Borders. She's on a break from her work in Guinea and plans to head back soon to tackle the Ebola problem. Monya, thanks for speaking with us, and thank you for the work you do.
Thank you very much.